people are continuing to move pretty much the same pace, so I'm continuing to estimate 350, 400 people per minute. So it looks a little thicker than before, actually. And there's another looking, good-looking pooch with a sign on it. Dog against the bushes.
Dog pee on bushes.
There we have it. We are all related. Dakota, Frankenbush, an ancient No Blood for Oil t-shirt. Actually, a new one from 2 or 3 months ago. Well, Tom figures out.
Make love, fuck war.
Make love, not war. Well, I'd like. Yeah. Make love, fuck war. Yes, good point. And I guess people are continuing. There isn't really that much of a blockage. I have a dream. Picture of Martin Luther King. Blood plus oil equals re-election. What price for re-election? Who's the real evil maniac? Again, pictures of our great Führer, and I mean our president. There's a sign that simply says UN. Drop Bush, not bombs. There's a popular one. And here's a woman who's facing things directly. What is your name, madam?
Katrina.
Thank you, Katrina. She's got a peace sign in white and black on her face. Taxpayer teacher against the war in Iraq. And here's it's the military section of the parade with a tank. Yes, sir, thank you. Come over here. I got my press pass. Hi. And this man has a toy machine gun, and he is guarding a toy tank. And, of course, there are about 15 or 20 around this Israeli tank. Peace now and forever, says the sign. South Asians against the war is the next group. So it's about 10 after 1. I've been up here now for almost an hour. That's, in 60 minutes, if the 400 per minute rate continues, that's 24,000 people who have passed by my spot. America's War on Terrorism, Grandma's for Peace. And there seem to be more people per bunch than there were before. No en nuestro nombre. That's Spanish, folks. Out Bush. And the first person carrying a child on his shoulders. Excellent. And there's the first wheelchair person I've seen. So apparently, is there at least one wheelchair? Dialogue with respect. My goodness. And Colleen would like that from the street performers in Santa Cruz. Fight it yourself, Bush, says the sign. And somebody Santa Cruz, you're both under arrest. Do you have your passes? I'd like to see some identification. That's Nick Whitehead from Santa Cruz. Hey, Nick. Say hello to the free radio people. Nick, what's happening with your radio production? You're going to be doing a satire.
Yeah, no, that's coming up real soon. Homeless in Outer Space is definitely coming out soon. This march here is...
What about Bush in Outer Space? Have you considered that as a sequel?
Bush belongs in outer space. May he rot on an abandoned planet forever.
Oh, no, we just need him to explore the planets along with Cheney and a number of others.
Oh, Cheney and the Chain Gang. Yeah, I just love those guys. Secret Order of the Unknown Universe.
Thank you, Nick.
Well, this is great today. This is massive. This march is massive. I mean, you literally can't see the end of it. We're in the middle of Market Street, the length of it. You can't see the beginning or the end of this march.
No, 25,000 people so far have passed by. In about 5 minutes, that'll be true, according to my estimate.
And I've seen a lot of Palestinian young women. They're all about the same height and very dusky looking, and they all have these huge national flags of Iraq, I think.
There's a long dragon with, it's not a dragon, it's actually just a clothesline with dozens of little signs and flags. And are they made by children, do you think? What do you think of that, Nick?
Yeah, there's a bunch of children there who are claiming to be known terrorists. I don't know how true this is.
Now, wait a minute. Huff has taken responsibility for all terrorist incidents in the last 5 years. I don't think they can effectively say that. Huff is, of course, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom.
Yeah, of course, they're well known up here, right on Market Street. I mentioned the name and everybody...
Huffton Puff.
What a wonderful organization.
Yeah, of course, we are. We are nationally, internationally, and, well, universally known.
Okay, we're taking off.
Thank you, Nick. Good to see you. All right. Where's your harp? As a harpist now playing the cymbals.
I can't bring my harp out here. That thing weighs about 12 pounds.
And what is your name, woman? Or should I say Phoenix?
I'm Phoenix.
I will be coming back to Santa Cruz.
You know who I am. Yeah.
I will be coming back to Santa Cruz. You too?
Yeah.
Your name is?
Jeremias.
Go. And we have some street performers here. Maybe they'll bring back some performers to Santa Cruz. Wow. All right. Fight wars. Fight war, not war. There are a lot of people here, folks. Vote peace. So there's a green triangle there. Anti-war dogs. And I think there... I don't know if there are any dogs over there, but there's somebody with a baby carriage. Maybe there's some baby dogs in the baby carriage. Who knows? But there are plenty of dogs. And they are here. And we have a photographer decided to give me a shoot. Justice, not vengeance. War does not create peace and security. And there's the UN flag. And there's a Patriot for Peace. We must be the change we wish to see. Again, another banner, or I should say, sign with Gandhi's slogan. No war, Hoa Binh. And I may be Vietnamese for no war, or I'm not sure what Hoa Binh means. And another corporate flag. And more people. And I'll just take a breather. Northern California citizens for peace and sustainability. And a musical moment. We want peace. We want peace, not a war. Peace, not war. Peace, please. War is terrorism. How many lives per gallon? No war with Iraq. And the crowd is getting thicker. And hey, oh-ho, the Oregon contingent has arrived. Say hello, Jim.
Hey, San Francisco. This is great.
Came all the way down from Eugene.
Yes, we're here from Eugene. The Students for Peace at the University of Oregon also brought a full bus, and I know there a bus from Ashland also showed up, but Portland's probably packing in 40 or 50,000 themselves today.
Wow. Welcome to San Francisco.
Great city. Thank you.
Don't try to pay rent here. It's not naive to oppose a foreign policy that redestroys destruction, says one side. And here's a banner that I can only see the back of. Uhuru means freedom, it says at the bottom. Picture of a bomb with a line through it. Impeach Bush. Stop Bush. Stop Bush. Japanese Americans say something about a concentration camp and redress. There's a woman who's wrapped herself in the American flag, and she's got a sign attached. Wage peace. Food, not bombs. That's the t-shirt she's wearing. And we'll do a check of how many people per minute. So I count about 350, 400 per minute now. And it is 120, more or less, or 115 if you're counting world time or San Francisco time. The only drumbeat I will follow is the drumming of my heart. No sangre para siete. Don't attack Iraq. The Iraqi war is due to our enemies. omnipresent Stop the War Against Iraq, the red and black sign. Only love can conquer hate. And again, the very popular sign printed Bush's policies endangering America, enraging the world. No blood for oil. Peace on earth, wisdom is better than weapons of war. Don't bomb the Iraqi people. Unanswered questions, get the facts. So we have at least 25 or 30,000 people as of now. And if this continues, wow. This is quite a huge group here.
And you're tuned to Free Radio, 96.3 FM. I'm Robert Norris. This is Bathrobes Pierre's Broadsides. And, call in, 427-3772 is the number to use. You can call off Pierre, 234. RNORIC@hotmail.com. I went to the Counterpunch website here. That's Counterpunch, one word, Counterpunch. And January 17th has a draft impeachment resolution against President George W. Bush by Francis A. Boyle, professor of law, University of Illinois Law School. And he writes it as follows. But first, let's catch this call. Hi there, you're on Free Radio. Hello? Hello? I'm sorry, say again?
Hello.
Ah, okay, I got you now.
Okay. Hey, this is V-Man.
Hey, V-Man.
How you doing?
I know you were up there. Any report, or are you doing your own report?
Well, I just wanted to comment that, I don't know if you've been I just tuned in, and I heard some of your commentary from the protest yesterday. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to say I was just downtown getting my morning coffee and saw the front page of all the newspapers, so I was really encouraged to read, actually, in the Chronicle, some fairly accurate report. I didn't buy the paper, of course. I only read the top fold. Mm-hmm. But they actually reported numbers fairly accurately in the paper, and I was pretty encouraged by that. They said 500,000 people marched in Washington, D.C. yesterday, and they did say only tens of thousands in San Francisco, which was a little discouraging, a little inaccurate, but the reality is that it made the front page of all the newspapers today, and I think that's probably a first for an anti-war demo, at least.
Well, it was such a huge demo. I mean, good grief. I mean, and you're right. If you look at I've got the three papers here, the Mercury News, the Chronicle, and the Sentinel. They all say over 40,000 police estimate.
Well, that's definitely over 200,000, maybe even.
Yeah. I mean, I put it myself, and again, I'm not an expert at all. Somewhere between, I don't know, around 100,000, but that's just counting on Market Street, and I didn't stay there. You know, I don't know how long it continued. I also talked a little bit about the second rally, the second march.
The breakaway march, the
breakaway
Black Block?
Yeah, I was on the Black Block march. Actually, I saw the police assault people. I saw the guy break the Starbucks window. I didn't see who it was, but yeah, I mean, I didn't know who it was. I saw I was there for most of it, and I expressed my own anxiety about it.
About the march itself?
Well, no, about the violence.
About the property destruction.
Right, the property destruction.
Let's get those words accurate.
No, I think that's correct.
But let's talk about the real violence of bombs and property destruction, of bombs falling on innocent homes and civilians and cities and, you know, marketplaces in Iraq and Afghanistan and in Palestine and in Colombia that are all made here in the U.S. of A.
Right.
You know, that's like, I think that should be the focus of when we talk about violence and property destruction. I mean, let's get that accurate. People did smash some windows at the INS building, mm-hmm. and maybe some banks and maybe some corporate chain stores, but, like, I don't know. I mean, I kind of would like to really, like, focus the property destruction of innocent civilians' homes.
No, I think that's far more appropriate, considering that U.S. is bombing in Iraq, what, three times a week or something?
Yeah,
I'm not sure how frequently they're bombing now.
Yeah.
in the so-called no-fly zones, and have been, of course, starving out the people for, what, the last decade,
mm-hmm.
creating hundreds of thousands of casualties among people under the age of five. Come on.
Right.
On the other hand, you know, I had to be honest about my own feelings, which were anxious and apprehensive,
mm-hmm.
and also concerned
that.
About, you know, what is the media going to think? What are the, you know, what are the middle class readers going to think? And I had to admit I had those doubts and concerns. Although I got to say, I mentioned this earlier on the show. You weren't listening, Vinny, because I mean you didn't hear it. But
I was probably sleeping.
Yeah, you got to get up earlier. Hey, but a couple of peace activists from Santa Cruz who were not a part of any kind of, you know, Black Bloc activity per se, were very enthusiastic and encouraged to hear about this. I was surprised to hear these women say this because
these are typical lefty,
non-violent type people. They go in there and they're looking at anarchism, as they call it, more closely because they think it has a, you know, something more to do. If they felt more satisfied, you know, seeing people smash this stuff, and I'm very ambivalent. I don't know what my reaction is, but your point is, of course, let's talk about the real violence.
Yeah, and the real property destruction and violence.
On the other hand, you know, insofar as I'm talking about this protest tactic, it wasn't my tactic. I didn't do it. I observed it.
Right.
You know, and frankly, as I said, it was very well planned. The people all got away through the BART stations. I thought that was a brilliant tactic. You know, I mean, they all, instead of sitting around and getting symbolically arrested and getting, you know, locked up in the courts for a year and a half and all this stuff. Although I would have thought that getting, you know, getting 2,000 or 3,000 of those people to occupy someplace like Feinstein's office, marching there would have been a great idea if you had those people. And then just sitting down and waiting to be arrested, you know, or have Feinstein come out and make some declaration. Not that we give a shit about what Feinstein says anyway, really, but still. Anyway, so, I got some tape on it. It's not the best. I was worried the police were on the sidewalks with their motorcycles and their bikes, and it was a scary scene.
Yeah, I imagine.
They had their truncheons out, but they didn't beat up the crowd. And I think, generally speaking, the police kept hands off. Wasn't that your perception?
Well, I didn't participate in the breakaway march, so I can't really comment about that. I only really went up and just marched up Market Street, and once we got to the Civic Center, I just left because it was too crowded for my taste, and I was really hungry and had to pee, so I went and got a nice lunch.
Pee in San Francisco? I'm sorry. No peeing allowed. Pick it. You know, you've come from a no-pee town, and you're going to a no-pee town.
Yeah. But I got home last night and went onto the Internet, and you know, this whole thing about tens of thousands can easily be debunked if one goes to sf.indymedia.org. Apparently, the International Answer Coalition, who organized the protest, they rented a helicopter, which may or may not, you know, people may have different opinions about that, about the amount of money that might have cost. But the fact is they did rent a helicopter for the purpose of taking photographs of the crowd, and the photographs really debunk the myth that tens or even 40,000 people.
125,000, I think.
Oh, easily. I mean, they're estimating it in San Francisco that maybe even 350,000 people, which is a high number, a high estimate. But the reality is that at least over 100,000, maybe even over close to 200,000 people were rallying yesterday. And
what do we do next, Vinny?
Well, we get those people to take the next step, like you're saying, and maybe risk an arrest or put their bodies on the line. If we can, you know, if people can afford to rent helicopters, maybe we can send some people over to Iraq to be human blockades there. I know there's a guy who's been, or he's a former Gulf War vet who has denounced his citizenship here in the U.S. of A. and he lives in somewhere in Europe, but he's organizing people to go and be human shields in the event of a full-scale attack by the U.S. military over in Iraq. So
that's kind of a ways to go. I mean, I hear you. I mean, I don't know how many people can do that. I'm wondering, what can we do here in Santa Cruz? What can we do? There's so many people so concerned, and I know I think it's a step beyond just going out for a Saturday march.
Yeah.
I think there's a growing feeling that this is major serious. I mean, we're talking like the commercial has with the kid picking the daffodils,
right,
and the little girl and the nuclear war right around the corner.
Well, the only thing I can say is just keep doing what we're doing and do it more often. I mean, it's really, because again, you get to the problem of, like, at least in my life, it's hard for me to put my life on hold because I'm barely making it as it is. So, I mean, whatever actions I can take, I'm going to do. But there's also, you know, you have to kind of live your life too at the same time. So, I don't know. It's a tough one.
Hey, well, I appreciate your being up there, and I appreciate your being on the air, Vinny, and keeping it all together, and maybe you can show me how to use this damn tape machine so I can actually get some volume out of it. It seems like all my tapes are now... I guess we got to move from tapes to discs or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah. It's the digital age, Robert.
I guess so.
We're actually going to get a new tape deck here one of these days, I think, as soon as...
Well, people can always donate money or equipment at 427-4523 if they'd like. We can use that.
Yes, or go to our website, PayPal accounts, or send money, send checks to Free Radio Santa Cruz, P.O. Box 7507.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, well, thanks for putting me on, and thanks for doing your show today, and listen to the Robert or the Francis Boyle article you're about to read there.
I will.
All right.
All right.
Bye-bye.
And, yeah, let's get back to that article. Again, you can read it directly yourself on the Counterpunch website. The resolution impeaching George Walker Bush, President of the United States, of high crimes and misdemeanors. Resolved that George Walker Bush, President of the United States, is impeached for high crimes and misdemeanors, that the following articles of impeachment be exhibited to the Senate. Article 1. In the conduct of the office of President of the United States, George Walker Bush, in violation of his constitutional oath, faithfully to execute the office of the President of the United States, and to the best of ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States, and in violation of his constitutional duty to take care of that the laws be faithfully executed, has attempted to impose a police state and a military dictatorship upon the people and Republic of the United States of America by means of a long train of abuses and usurpations against the Constitution since September 11, 2001. This subversive conduct includes, but is not limited to, trying to suspend the constitutional writ of habeas corpus, ramming the Patriot Act through Congress, the mass roundup and incarceration of foreigners, kangaroo courts, depriving at least two United States citizens of their constitutional rights by means of military incarceration, interference with the constitutional rights of defendants in criminal cases to lawyers, violating and subverting the Posse Comitatus Act, unlawful and unreasonable searches and seizures, violating the First Amendment rights of the free exercise of religion, freedom of speech, peaceable assembly, and to petition the government for redress of grievances, packing the federal judiciary with hand-picked judges, undermining the totalitarian on consular relations. This program. And establishing a military command for the United States of America itself. In all of this, George Walker Bush has acted in a manner contrary to his trust as president and subversive of constitutional government, to the great prejudice of the cause of law and justice, and to the manifest injury of the people of the United States. Wherefore, George Walker Bush, by such conduct, warrants impeachment and trial removal from office. Article 2. In the conduct of the office of the President of the United States, George Walker Bush, in violation of his constitutional oath, faithfully to execute the office of the President of the United States, and to defend to the best of his ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States, and in violation of his constitutional duty to take care that the laws be faithfully executed, has violated the Equal Protection Clause of the Constitution. U.S. soldiers in the Middle East are overwhelmingly poor white, black, and Latino, and our military service is based on the coercion of a system that has denied viable economic opportunities to these classes of citizens. Under the Constitution, all classes of citizens are guaranteed equal protection of the laws, and calling on the poor and minorities to fight a war for oil to preserve the lifestyles of the wealthy power elite of this country is a denial of the rights of these soldiers. In all of this, George Walker Bush has acted in a manner contrary to his trust as president, and subversive of constitutional government, to the great prejudice of the cause of law and justice, and to the manifest injury of the people of the United States. Wherefore, George Walker Bush, by such conduct, warrants impeachment and trial and removal from office. Article 3. In the conduct of the office of the President of the United States, George Walker Bush, in violation of his constitutional oath, faithfully to execute the office of President of the United States, and to the best of his ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States, and in violation of his constitutional duty to take care that the laws be faithfully executed, has violated the U.S. Constitution, federal law, and the United Nations Charter by bribing, intimidating, and threatening others, including the members of the United Nations Security Council, to support belligerent acts against Iraq. In all of this, George Walker Bush has acted in a manner contrary to his trust as president and subversive of constitutional government, to the great prejudice of the cause of law and justice and to the manifest injury of the people of the United States. Wherefore, George Tucker Bush, by such conduct, warrants impeachment and trial and removal from office, Article 4. In the conduct of the office of the President of the United States, George Walker Bush, in violation of his constitutional oath, faithfully to execute the office of the President, boy, they keep repeating that phrase again and again, don't they? I'm going to skip to the meat here. Has prepared, planned, and conspired to engage in a massive war and catastrophic aggression against Iraq by employing methods of mass destruction that will result in the killing of hundreds of thousands of civilians, many of whom will be children. This planning includes the threatened use of nuclear weapons and the use of such indiscriminate weapons and massive killings by aerial bombardment or otherwise of civilians violates the Hague regulations on land warfare, the rules of customary international law set forth in the Hague Rules of Air Warfare, the four Geneva Conventions of 1949 and Protocol 1 thereto, the Nuremberg Charter, Judgment and Principles, the Geneva Convention, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, and the U.S. Army Field Manual 2710, 1956. In all of this, George Walker Bush has acted in a manner constitutional, or I should say contrary to his trust as president and subversive constitutional government, to the great prejudice of the cause of law and justice, and to the manifest injury of the people of the United States. And there is an Article 5, prologue states, he has committed the United States to acts of war without congressional consent and contrary to the United Nations Charter and international law. From September 2001 through January 2003, the President embarked on a course of action that systematically eliminated every option for peaceful resolution of the Persian Gulf crisis. Once the President approached Congress for consent to war, tens of thousands of American soldiers' lives were in jeopardy, rendering any substantive debate by Congress meaningless. The President has not received a declaration of war by Congress, and in contravention of the written word, the spirit, and the intent of the U.S. Constitution, has declared that he will go to war regardless of the views of the American people. George Walker Bush has acted in a manner contrary to his trust. Contrary to his trust as president and subversive of constitutional government, to the great prejudice of the cause of law and justice, and to the manifest injury of the people of the United States. Article 6. He has planned, prepared, and conspired to commit crimes against the peace by leading the United States into aggressive war against Iraq in violation of Article 2, Section 4 of the United Nations Charter, the Nuremberg Charter, Judgment and Principles, the Kellogg-Briand Pact, the U.S. Army Field Manual 2710, 1956, numerous other international treaties and agreements, and the Constitution of the United States. And that is, wherefore, George Walker Bush, by such conduct, warrants impeachment and trial and removal from office, in memory of Congressman Henry B. Gonzalez, rest in peace, and his resolution of January 16, 1991, against an earlier George Bush. This is a resolution by Francis A. Boyle, professor of law, University of Illinois, who's the author of Foundations of World Order, The Criminality of Nuclear Deterrence, and Palestine, Palestinians, and International Law. And you can get further information on these books, and you can read this proposed articles of impeachment on the Internet at the Counterpunch website, Counterpunch. You're tuned to Free Radio, 96.3 FM. Phone lines are open in case you want to be on the air talking about any of this. I'll try to keep my eye on the blinker here and see where we are. I think I'm going to turn now back to the local issue. I zip back and forth between these various issues. I'm going to play a bit of the City Council's debate last Tuesday. It's not really debate at all. They came in with the laws they were going to vote, and they voted them in. That's just what they did, just like they did last summer, pretty much. And although 90%, 95% of the testimony was against the laws, they ignored it, and they didn't even bother to answer it. And we're going to begin, I believe this is a videotape. I'm playing the audio section of it. It's queued up to Leslie Cook, city clerk. Let's see how we do with that. She will be talking about incoming opinion, emails, phone calls, and so forth.
Mentioned earlier. Julie's here, and police department person also here to answer questions you may have.
Okay, thank you. Do we have any questions from city council members at this point?
Mayor Riley.
Okay, seeing no hands, we'll move on to, I'd like to ask Leslie what written communications and other communications have we had from people, Leslie?
Since the last meeting, when the ordinances were introduced, we've gotten 3 letters of support for the ordinances, 8 in opposition, and 6 with general concerns. Voicemail, no voicemail in support, 1 voicemail in opposition, and 3 voicemail with general concerns. However, there have been email addressed to city council members in opposition to the one-hour move-along, and 86 email have been received in opposition to the one-hour move-along, and 2 have been received in support.
Thank you very much. Any questions about that from anyone? Okay, did a few minutes ago I saw 2 hands from downtown commissioners, is that correct? So would you like to come forward and speak to us now? And if you could spend no longer than 5 minutes each, how's that? Is that long enough? I said 15, but we'll see. If you can do it in 5, you know, that'd be great. If you can't, you can do it in 7.5, that's okay too. But
in my family, it's hard to do anything in 5 minutes.
Speaking first will be Sheila Coonerty of the Downtown Commission. Note again how Emily Riley attempts to cut back the time the public is allowed to speak. Speakers were not allowed 3 minutes, as is customarily the case at public hearings, but now we're only allowed 2 minutes. Other organizations which wanted to speak, which are normally allowed 5 minutes at hearings concerning changes in the law, public hearings on the law, were not allowed to speak at all as organizations. One organization was allowed to speak, the Street Performers Organization. So Riley has continued the discredited and bad tradition of Crone and Fitzmaurice in cutting back oral communications time from what it used to be, let's say, under Byers and Celia Scott. I'm not trying to raise the banner of how wonderful these two former mayors were, but I'm pointing out the increasing lack of public input that's allowed at city council and how it's perhaps a reflection of the notion of these politicians that they have something worth saying and the public does not, particularly if they've made up their minds. Why bother to listen to the public anyway? Sheila Coonerty is the sister of Neil Coonerty, Bookshop Santa Cruz owner, who originally spoke out rather strongly against these ordinances. He started a Keep Santa Cruz Weird campaign with a bumper sticker, selling it, and I think he was originally proposing that benefits go to street performers to some extent. But he changed that position and accepted a so-called compromise by the city council, which no other street performers accepted that I'm aware of, which essentially said, as long as you're not expanding it to a 14-foot forbidden zone, if it's only a 10-foot forbidden zone, he'll accept that, even though it means the death of the voluntary street performers guidelines and the mandatory move-along laws. I was very disappointed to hear it, particularly after I seemed to be seeing a change in his position. He spoke very eloquently on Becky Johnson's television show. And at the various downtown commission and meetings and other meetings, and it was just too bad. But frankly, I have to say, maybe I have a certain amount of personal animus, because as I mentioned before, I've been kept out of the Bookshop Santa Cruz for 8 years. He's also tried to bar me from surrounding businesses. Like the what was Georgiana's Cafe and what is now Chocolat, because he didn't like the protests that took place around his store, and when some angry individuals upset his lack of public process and the bigoted nature of his laws in 1994, when he was the main mover behind the downtown ordinances that set up the forbidden zones to start with, and also essentially huge number of restrictions on panhandlers that had nothing to do with whether you were peaceful or not, but just if you were seated, if you were in a group of 2, if it was done after dark, giving the police a whole variety of repressive tools to use against poor people. Apparently, somebody threw 2 rocks through one of his windows, and I was blamed for that, even though I was not guilty of that. I've never urged violence against his store. I don't think it's a good tactic. You heard me talking about how nervous I am about that kind of property damage, and violence in that respect, the destruction of property. And nonetheless, he decided to criminalize me, just as he was criminalizing hundreds and hundreds of people downtown who were engaging in innocent behavior. And he's not the only one. I mean, Rodkin and Kennedy did it too, but he did it, and I found it was remarkable that he seemed to be sort of at least reconsidering that position. But actually, no, he just felt that the expanded forbidden zones were not good, you only expand them less, that's okay. And that's too bad. We're going to hear Sheila Coonerty now, who actually speaks pretty well, although I think she makes, I don't agree with her position either, frankly, but let's hear what it is, and let's hear some more of this discussion at the City Council, particularly the oral communication period that follows, where you get to hear the public and the musicians, which I think is far more interesting and, frankly, has far more good information than the City Council section, which is why I'm not playing you the City Council section. You can also hear this in the library. You can go to the library and you can borrow a tape recorder there and listen to it there if you'd like.
Such short attention spans of Sheila, you know.
Well, that's why I wrote a letter, so that everybody could, you know, I could get it all out. And so I want to...
Thank you, by the way.
I want to follow it up with some comments. One thing that the people who weren't here, some of whom had childcare and other family things, asked me to again thank the staff that have been very helpful to us. I personally want to thank Julie. She did another walk with me. That was really great. And they were sorry that they couldn't all be here. So I think for my, perhaps, I feel a little bit like I'm on a train track and the train is coming and I really want to just duck, but I'm going to pretend like it's not coming right at me. And I think first I need to make a final appeal to think about differently about what's going on. Even in line with Tim's comments about love, respect, manners, and then law, the Downtown Commission members, not all of them, but many of us, and myself, feel like perhaps we've moved quickly to law and that we could think about creating a little space for doing this differently. It sounds a little egotistical, but I feel a little bit like we're asking for the United Nations instead of arming to go to Iraq. We're asking for a chance to try an imperfect system, but to see if it would work. I have to say, coming into this, coming from a family that has a business downtown, I expected to hear more complaints from merchants, to identify more with merchants, and to not be so willing to give the street performers time. Once I heard what people had to say, I heard very little from merchants supporting the 10-foot ordinance. The 14-foot ordinance, the old ordinance, yes, they did support that. Once I heard from them, I didn't hear the complaints I expected. Once I listened to the police, I didn't hear them being too excited about having to put their time into making this ordinance work. The performers had a history of voluntary cooperation. I thought that it was possible that we could help them to make that a working thing again. I also was surprised to discover what it meant to me to have the street performers here in Santa Cruz, what it meant to me to make sure that it worked, that it was a working and lively thing. I think I discovered in the process a sense of downtown Santa Cruz and of the different members of downtown that I hadn't had before. For all those reasons, along with the fact that we were told that these were all unintended consequences, I really came to feel that there could be another solution besides a heavy-handed law, especially since 1 in 200 or so problems downtown had anything to do with street performers. It seemed to me there was a reason to try the least intrusive solution. I still feel that way, with the exception possibly of the move along, which for many of us on the Downtown Commission was one of the things we most seriously considered before we decided to try the voluntary first. And we basically decided the voluntary worked before, perhaps it could work again, why don't we try the least intrusive first? But we actually thought that if a law had to be made, the move along was the one that addressed 95% of what merchants said to us, which was, I'm enclosed in my store. And I could appreciate the closed-in store. I told Scott the story today. I lived above the Hells Angels one of my years at UCSC, and they played Hey Jude all night while they got stoned and passed out. And it took me 15 years before I could stand listening to Hey Jude again. And I loved Hey Jude. And so I could understand the idea of being in a store, and even if they played Bach, who cared? You know, because after a while, Bach would get, you'd get sick of it. So the idea of a move along made sense.
I just want, are you suggesting, or are you suggesting a move along instead of any?
Our feeling was a move along instead of. What we liked best, which sort of came out of actually understanding what the city attorney said instead of thinking we understood it, was that you could actually change display device to mean something smaller and thereby wipe out the negative effects of the display device ordinance on the single performer, also the single anything else, you know, the single person trying to make money for Greenpeace. And the move along would take care of the feeling trapped in your store problem. So we saw it as a instead of, not in addition to, because although many people think the 10-foot is not a big deal, including some members of my family, when I walk down the avenue, I see a blank this side and on everything else that you have to stay 10 feet away from on this side. And I know if it was me and somebody told me that was my half, I would say, excuse me, that's not half. So we like the idea of using the move along in order to do what the merchants basically wanted done. If you must have a legal solution, that's the one we prefer. We're not even sure that it's really time for a legal solution, but what do we know?
A quick commentary here. You're listening to Sheila Coonerty talking on January 14th at the City Council meeting on the downtown ordinances. Unless the Downtown Commission had a special meeting between December 10th and January 14th, which I was not aware they did, and perhaps Sheila will correct me on this, the Downtown Commission did not support the move-along ordinance. And she mentioned this at the beginning, but then she starts using the phrase we. I think she's trying to get half a loaf here, and in a way, maybe it's a commendable kind of attempt. Although the street performers decided they didn't want to try to get half a loaf, they wanted to oppose all of it. But in fact, one should not be misled into believing the Downtown Commission supported some move-along ordinance. They supported voluntary street performers' guidelines. And people don't really understand, some people, obviously the City Council doesn't, or maybe they just disagree, it's not clear, why voluntary move-along beats mandatory move-along. The reason that a voluntary move-along beats mandatory move-along, and why it should be, well, first of all, it beats it because it's been successful. You don't have a lot of complaints from merchants that they ask people to move along and they haven't. At least I haven't seen that documented. It's never showed up in a Downtown Commission or a City Council document. If it's there, it's mysteriously hidden away, and I can't give credence to that kind of testimony. Maybe it's in the anecdotal discussions between Emily Riley and her supporters, or Ed Porter and his merchant allies, whatever. But it hasn't been brought out. It's not been brought out in any statistics. It's not been openly presented to the public or the community. So where the hell is it? So that's point one. But the reason voluntary was better initially, at least in the eyes of both the merchants and the street performers, is because there is a body of law which protects street performers. It depends on the community you're in, and it may depend on what the Supreme Court, obviously will depend on what the Supreme Court says in the future. But in places like Hawaii and New York, there have been decisions that protect street performers, that give them more protections, significantly more protections than they had in Santa Cruz, and actually puts merchants in a position where they have to listen to street performers all day. But then there's always risks that the courts won't do that kind of finding in the future. So street performers and merchants, there was an agreement back in 1980 with Tom Noddy and Morgami and Jan Luby and others sitting down, working it out, thrashing it out for months, and deciding they would use a relatively simple voluntary move-along policy that was not binding on any street performer, but which was generally agreed to and had the force of the kind of peer group behind it. And they abused that, which is if you stay for an hour, if you stay there, you can actually stay there as long as you want. But if somebody complains, whether it's a merchant or another performer who wants the space, then after you'll say, okay, you have to tolerate me for an hour, then I'll leave. And that's sort of the agreement. It's kind of unique to Santa Cruz. I've never heard of it in any other city. But I have not heard of it not working. The one place that a problem arose was with the drummers, and that was worked out in 1996 with another voluntary agreement. Instead of a voluntary agreement, we have rhetoric from Kennedy and Rotkin, a move-along resolution from Matthews, smiles from Riley, and a unanimous vote to criminalize people and force them to move along under a legal demand. I can tell you, as I mentioned before earlier in the show, I will not submit to such a thing as a street tabler, as a person who's tabling, and that also sweeps me up too. They damn well better have their police and their lawyers ready for this one, because I think tablers, provided they're not blocking the sidewalk or disturbing the peace, have the right to be where they are. I guess I'd say for a reasonable period of time. They haven't got the right to camp there for 3 weeks in one spot necessarily, you know, and that's taken care of by existing law. But the fact of the matter is, making people rotate after an hour is preposterous and subverts the First Amendment, and also has an invidious motive, which is to get rid of poor people. Anyway, Sheila Coonerty speaking about this issue. I've gotten my time in, even though I could only speak for 2 minutes at City Council. She got 7 minutes, and let's hear some more of what she has to say. It is not accurate to say that this is what the Downtown Commission put forward, however, and so people should not get that misimpression, nor should they get the impression that she's trying to...
...give away to have voluntary permits for large groups, exemptions for large groups, something, because a one-hour move-along will not...